First Peter chapter 2, 18 through 25. Wrong Bible. Wrong verses. Hear God's word. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, that is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. May God bless the reading of his word. Please bow with me real quickly, just one moment. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds to your word. Lord, that you would instruct us through the teaching of your word. And Lord, may we be encouraged by your word so we might go forth and live righteously before you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want you to think first of the National Hockey League. Dan Yost will like this example. Even though they didn't have a season this year, I want you to think of how a game is played. Throughout the course of a hockey game, there are times when one player on the team will seek to hit another player. It happens quite often if you've watched hockey. We often see that usually it's someone who's one of those goons on the hockey team who's built up, has quite a bit of muscle that seeks to maybe injure the player on the opposing team. Well, usually what happens when someone goes out and starts checking someone throughout the game, the other person retaliates. Because they are provoked, they decide to seek vengeance upon that individual. But in our passage today, Christ doesn't call us to do that. In Christ, we're called to endure suffering. You're not called to go back and lash out against the enemy in and of yourself and take your own vengeance. Therefore, suffer unjust punishment without retaliation. For by enduring unjust punishment, you demonstrate your union with Christ. Well, I want to flush out this idea as we go through this about how in suffering you demonstrate your union with Christ. And we're first going to look at today that we do suffer as Christ suffered. If we're a part of Him, we will suffer. Secondly, we're going to look at the idea that as you're united to Christ, you deal with unjust punishment in a different way than a way that the world deals with being punished unjustly. Third, we're going to look at how our union with Christ is demonstrated, by being united to Christ and the hope that comes with that being united to Christ. Lastly, you demonstrate your union with Christ in suffering by resting in the fact that God is judge. So first we're going to look at the idea that if Christ suffered by the hands of the world, you should expect to suffer by the hands of the world as well. Look back at verses 20, 22 through 24, which speak of Christ's suffering. Verse 22, it says, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when reviled did not revile in return. So Christ was mocked, but he didn't return and revile. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, having died for us, might live for righteousness. So we see that Christ suffered. Well, we know that because the world hated Christ, we also shall suffer. Do any of you children know this passage that Christ is, I mean, that's quoted of Christ in the Old Testament in verses 22 to 24? Does anyone know which passage that Peter's quoting offhand? Right. And that passage deals with the suffering servant, foretelling that Christ would come into this world and suffer at the hands of the world for the sins of his people. Well, our text also states that those who are united to Christ are called to suffer. Remember, Peter is writing to the persecuted church. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he spoke of the persecution that the church would undergo. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said to his disciple these words. Listen to these words. The servant is no greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Being united to Christ by faith, you can expect to experience suffering. Look back at our text in the beginning. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. And notice that as this person is submissive and does what God wants, or according to his commandments, in verse 19, he suffers wrongfully. We know that's bound to happen in this world, that we are going to suffer unjust punishment. Think back once again also to Genesis. This is a classic example. Well, it tells us what's going to take place, that there's a battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. You know that this is going to happen, that as we're united to Christ, as the world persecuted him, we're going to also undergo that same punishment, that same unjust punishment that he underwent. Here's an example in the New Testament. Think about Peter and John after they healed the lame man and spoke of Jesus and his resurrection. You remember that story? By obeying God's command to be witnesses unto him to the uttermost parts of the earth, they were persecuted. They received unjust punishment. Remember, after Peter and John healed the lame man, they spoke in saying that it was Christ who healed the lame man. As the religious leaders of the day who did not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ were agitated at this, they decided to apprehend them and throw them in prison for a day. And then the next day, Peter and John came before the council. Well, this exemplifies the suffering that we will undergo in this lifetime. Therefore, be like Peter and John who proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ boldly, knowing that you will undergo unjust punishment. Remember Christ's words in the gospel, you're not to hide your lamp underneath a bowl. Christ calls you to be like a city upon a hill. Calls you to be salt and light to the world around you. Therefore, do not hide your light. Make sure that you're shining that light in the darkness. Do not be ashamed of Christ. Do not be like those who claim to be Christians and at times hide their lights as they go forth each day. Remember in our passage that God has called you to suffer. Remember that, you know, you're not called to a life of this easygoing life. But remember that Christ also says to deny yourself. Right then and there you see suffering that takes place. We're to deny our flesh. But how are you being united to Christ to deal with unjust punishment of the world? First of all, can anyone tell me how those apart from Christ deal with being wronged? How do people of the world react when they're wronged? Jeff. Right. Right.
Or they attract a lot of attention to their suffering.
That's right. That's what automatically happens. It automatically, people retaliate. They decide that, you know, they need to seek their own vengeance, their own justice. You know, think of our example in Scripture here. We're talking about a master and a servant. Well, you can kind of see that in thinking of an employee-employer relationship. You know, more often than not, you hear people complain about their wages. You know, most people today, and I've experienced this working at Walmart, think that their wages are not fair. Well, that might be so, but we're not called to decide to steal and make up for what we're not being paid. I've seen people get fired for thinking that, well, I need to make up for what I'm not getting paid, so I'm going to take this nice lantern or this nice crock pot and decide that, well, now I'm even with the employer. We're not called to do that. You know, think of our example of Christ once again. Going back to our text, Christ, when he was reviled, he did not return in reviling back at them. Remember, in Isaiah 53, it says that he was like a sheep that went to the slaughter. He was dumb. He did not speak out against those who mocked him and persecuted him, but endured this suffering patiently. Being united to Christ, you're to follow after his example, as our text says. He says that, Peter says that Christ is an example to us. We are to live out our lives as being united to Christ, as those who have their citizenship in heaven. This is all flowing out from what Peter has already said before, talking about living as pilgrims. You know, as he also mentions about having your conversation or conduct honorable among the Gentiles. This flows out from this. He's flushing this out as he goes throughout his epistle here. Furthermore, by enduring unjust judgment, you demonstrate that you are united to Christ because you're hoping in Him. You demonstrate your union with Christ by hoping in the salvation that is wrought by Him in His salvation. Think once again of those verses towards the end here. He was talking about, you know, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to our sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You know, that is our hope. Most people, think about most people as they suffer. They are dismayed. They are hopeless. There is no hope. In fact, most people try to avoid suffering. They don't like to suffer. In fact, I don't like to suffer. I hate to suffer. But that's what we're called to do. We're called to be in Christ, those who suffer for the sake of Christ in this world. We have this hope that helps us to endure that suffering of unjust judgment. As we rest in Christ and are united to Him in His death and resurrection, we have this hope that we can go forth each day as we endure the suffering that often comes upon us. You know, those who are not united to Christ, you know, often seek revenge because it's, you know, it's, they're clinging on to this world. But it is that hope that we have that helps us to endure. And once we come to understand the salvation in Jesus Christ, when we truly place our trust in Him, we can't help but suffer as Christ did on as He went throughout His earthly ministry. You know, when we sit there and we think of our suffering, but then we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that just compels us to suffer for Christ. Because we know that we have the hope of the resurrection. This is that hope. And that's why Paul and even Peter later talks about rejoicing in suffering because of that hope. We have that hope that Christ will raise us from the dead on the last great day with Him. You know, by rejoicing in our sufferings, by trusting in this hope, we demonstrate our union with Him before the world. Because we have that hope. We have that security if we are trusting in Him. Lastly, you demonstrate your union with Christ by not seeking to revenge yourselves from unjust punishment, but by resting that Christ is judge alone. Going back to our example of Christ, let's look at verse. It says that He, in verse 23, Himself to Him who judges righteously. He committed Himself, He committed His cause to God who judges righteously. You know, we're not to go off and seek our own vengeance, but we're to appeal to God through Jesus Christ. And in that, we demonstrate that we are united to Him. We show that Christ is judge, not we ourselves, but that He is the one who repays, you know, the wicked for their wicked deeds. Now going back to the example in the beginning again of the servant and the master, well, many times, like I said before, the servant or employer or employee likes to take advantage of the employer because he's not being paid fairly or treated fairly. But we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to be submissive to that authority. We're, you know, because we have that hope that when the time comes, maybe not in this lifetime, but they will be judged for their wickedness. That judgment is pending. So therefore, we're to trust in that Christ is judge, and in trusting in that, we demonstrate that we are united to Him. Well, I'd like to leave you with this charge, that you are to suffer unjust punishment without retaliation. For by enduring unjust punishment, you demonstrate your union with Christ. Do not be as many of those in the world who do not have that hope in Jesus Christ, who seek to retaliate, like the hockey player we talked about in the beginning. Do not retaliate when you're wronged. You know, because by doing so, you're not demonstrating that you're part of Jesus Christ. That's how the world acts. You're not to do that. You're called to a life of suffering in Jesus Christ. You're called to suffer and to demonstrate the love that is found in union with Him. You know, think back at our text. As I said before, this flows out from the idea of having your conduct or your conversation honorable among the Gentiles. You know, that's how we're supposed to act before the watching world. And as they see that, There's often times where they'll be puzzled by that. You'll heap hot coals on their head. So therefore, demonstrate by enduring suffering, by enduring hardship, the unjust punishments that we have to go through in this life. It is by doing that you demonstrate your union with Christ. And in that we see that our hope, the hope that flows out from being united to Christ, and that is our hope that gets us through these trials and tribulations. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We know, Lord, that, Father, you've called us to live a life of suffering as Christ. Lord, we pray, Father, that the hope that we have in the resurrection, Lord, will help us, Father, as we go forth each day and are at times wronged by many. Lord, pray that we would not act as though we are like worldly men, but that we would love them, Father, that we would, as Christ said, to love our enemies and to pray for them, Lord, instead of doing the opposite and seeking our own vengeance. Oh, Lord, this is a tough message. Even for me, Lord, it is hard to really, Lord, seek to not take vengeance upon other people, Lord. Lord, help us to have that heart, Lord, that only comes from being united to Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.